Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Glad that you're joining us today. It is Hump Day, and there's so much to discuss. Larry Fitzgerald is back. He has signed on a dotted line. He is returning to the Arizona Cardinals. Tess took another L yesterday. Booker got ejected. We'll discuss. More whiny Saints fans. Patriots continue to go about their business, and the Rams shock the world. All-star team is announced tomorrow for the NBA All-Star game. Well, at least the starting five. We will discuss. This is the Cave Show with PLR. We brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, the official viewing party for the big game on the 3rd of February. Come down and check them out. Located on Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler, Arizona. Let them know PLR sent you. Get 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. You can also become a club member, get a locker that bags directly up to a humidor. Never, ever worry about your sticks going bad. Check them out, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at Alma School in Chandler Heights, serving beer and wine and home of the big game party on February 3rd, official watch party of the Cave Show. Yes, we will be in the house. Like I said, mentioned PLR sent you that day, any day, get 10% off of any cigar purchase that you may have. Come on down and check them out. So what do we have on topic today? Larry Fitzgerald, Super Bowl, AFC NFC Championship game, All-Star game. We know who's going into the Hall. Most importantly, we know who's not going into the Hall of Fame. And I'm talking Major League Baseball, and we will definitely discuss because I still have some big issues with that. We do have our special guest today, Greg Moore, award-winning columnist, Arizona Republic, Arizona Central. He will be joining us in about 6 minutes on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Our guest number is 917-889-7828. We're going to open up for calls after he's finished because we'll cut you close if we do calls right now, and I don't want to cut anyone close. I want them to be able to freely say what they're going to say. So like I said, that call-in number is 917-889-7828 after our guest today. So we know what's going on with the Cardinals now. We know that the man is back. We know that Larry Fitzgerald is coming back to play at least one more year. I've never seen any athlete in the Valley captivate people the way has over the last 10 years or so. He is entrenched here in Phoenix. He's part of the community. And for those of you that do not live in the Phoenix area, Larry Fitzgerald is just the face of Phoenix right now. And even though the Cardinals are struggling mightily, Larry's been through it all. Larry came here when they were struggling, was here through their ascension to the Super Bowl with Kurt Warner. Past the Kurt Warner years, onto a bunch of quarterbacks whose names a lot of us can't even remember. On to now rookie Josh Rosen, then through Wisenhunt, through Arias, through all, you know, all the coaches, all the everything. But it's not just what Larry does and what Larry represents as a football player. Larry is the face, the sports face, the community face, the goodwill ambassador face of the Arizona Cardinals. And for him to come back and sign for one more year is not just good for the Arizona Cardinals football team. It is good for Arizona and, more importantly, for the city of Phoenix. For those of you that don't live in the Valley, maybe you're not as in tune with the things that Larry Fitzgerald does. He is constantly giving to charity, constantly showing up at events, constantly helping those that need help. And it's always a positive voice when positive voices are so needed now. And that's why I said Larry Fitzgerald re-signing with the Cardinals is more than just football. And I'm not knocking any of the other athletes in the city and the great things they do, because there's a lot of things that the athletes in Phoenix, they do for this community. I can think of the things that Devin Booker's done with buying new shoes for kids that didn't have any. Shane Doan, when he was with the Coyotes, did so many good things in his valley. Goldschmidt, when he was a member of the Arizona Diamondbacks, the things that he did. Behind the scenes, you guys don't know, but former Diamondback Willie Bloomquist does so many good things and refuses to ever pound his chest and take credit for it. But Larry is just something special because we all love him for what he does on the field. But when you talk about what he does off the field, it's even that much better. So he's back. It's good to have him back. Football-wise, he's going to need help. They're going to need another wide receiver, one that can get deep, hopefully clear up some of the middle for some of the underneath things that he can do. Kingsbury is supposed to be the guy. We'll see. I made a running joke, I want to say about 7 months ago. It was the Cardinals are only a few players away, and they could get a speed guy as a wide receiver, get a tight end that stretches a little bit and can do some things. If they get some offensive linemen, get a couple linebackers, get a cornerback to help out Adrian Peterson, make sure they have a good field goal kicker. And if they could do all those things, they're only a player or 17 away from being a really good team. But the first piece has signed, and I know he's not the first piece in the quote-unquote building block, but just to have Larry back in the building is always, always, always a very positive thing. Without any further ado, though, we have the man on the line with us. It's not everyone that gets to pop on an award-winning columnist, the Republic, AZ Central, the man himself, the one and only Greg Moore. What's up, my man? Welcome to the Cave Show with TLR.
Paul, what up, man?
Not a man. How are you today?
Listen, man, life is good. I can't complain. Larry Fitzgerald's coming back, and all is right with the world.
You know, before you hopped on, I was saying how great it was to have him back, but not just because of what Larry does on the football field, but Larry Fitzgerald has become the face of sports in Phoenix. Would you agree with me saying that?
Oh, absolutely, man. Listen, Charles Barkley's been gone for quite a while. Steve Nash has been gone for quite a while. Amari Stoudemire's been gone even longer than that, right? Kurt Warner's been gone for quite a while. And if you look at baseball, Paul Goldschmidt got traded in the offseason. It's Larry or bust, right? Like, it's he's what we've got. Shane Doan retired last year. I don't know who else could rightfully even claim a piece of that right now? Frankly, we need Larry to stick around long enough for the Suns to get close to 500 before Booker can even really enter that conversation in the way that he ultimately can, but he hasn't been able to because the team's performance has been what it has been.
So you want Larry to stick around for 8 or 9 more years?
Man, listen, I want Larry to keep doing it as long as I'm around to cover him. So, but here's a piece of it, man. Like, so, of course, I want what's best for him. Like, you know, human, man to man, I just want him to be happy and safe and healthy and have the best life that he can. But, dude, imagine if he was playing in his 25th year and still pulling 1,000 yards and 70, 80 catches, and I get to cover that, man. Are you kidding me? He'd be like Tom Brady, only at wide receiver, only 1,000 times more impressive. And, yeah, man, I would love to cover this guy for as long as he's around to cover. It's been a blast so far.
Well, you're going to need those many years just for those Suns to turn that corner. And maybe I got 2026 circled for the playoffs. And I know I'm being facetious. We'll talk about I'm just joking. Take it easy, people that are listening, because I don't want to get any tweets or whatever. But in terms of Larry, I'm not talking either, Greg, just about what he means to the Cardinals, what he means to the franchise, what he means to the city in terms of sports. Larry does so much for this city off the field with the charitable organizations and the things that he does and the appearances that he makes and the charity events that he has. Maybe you could just speak on that just a little bit of how much he means to the city from that aspect.
So I talk to people all over the sports community, right? I mean, just all over the place, here, there, and everywhere. And of the people I speak to, they all say positive things about Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, every last one of them says, oh, man, this is a great guy. You know, he's out in their community. He does the right things. It's remarkable that he could have that high of a level of esteem, right, that many people would say that many good things about the guy. I think it's, you know, I think that speaks to itself, right? I've always felt like athletes should use their platform to do as much good as possible. Now, whether that's political or whatever, that's up to them. You know, I don't necessarily want an athlete to stand up and say, hey, yo, vote for this guy, vote for that guy. If an athlete wants to use his or her platform to do that, I fully would support them in that. But for me, it's all about doing the most good. And so Larry has really done a lot for cancer research. He's got 3 or 4 different foundations that have, and it's all on his website, like 3 or 4 different causes that I've seen that benefit from the work that his foundation kind of provides for. I just think that's interesting, man. I mean, the guy was able to go golfing with Barack Obama recently. He also gave the eulogy for Senator John McCain when John McCain died. I think that Larry's one of the few people that I've ever been around who just resonates the same way with all different types of folks. And here's the scary part is I'm like reluctant even to describe him in these terms because I don't want to deify him. Like, I don't want to build him up so high that we feel like the guy can't possibly make a mistake, right? Every last one of us is human. Every last one of us makes mistakes. And I don't want to put him up on such a pedestal that, you know, that there's this undue level of pressure on the poor guy because, again, he's just a human. But Paul, man, the guy just, he gets it done on the field year in and year out. You talk to people who know him, they say amazing things about him. He's able to go into all of these different realms and all these different places. And I don't know, man, he's just an impressive person. And I'm happy that I'm going to get to cover him, you know, keep going forward.
I'm the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on Cave Show with PLR, won the only Greg Moore Award-winning columnist. So I've been saying this, and I want you to tell me if I'm being too harsh. I value your opinion, so I'm going to get it from you right here. The Saints are a bunch of whiners. And this is why I say these things are a bunch of whiners, and so are their fans, and the suing, and the damn signs they're hanging up, all that crap. They're a bunch of babies. And I say that because that was probably the worst non-call I've seen in the NFL in a very, very long time. But that play did not decide the game. By the refs not making that call, did not make the Saints win or lose right then. The Saints won the toss. They got the ball first in overtime, and they threw an interception, which allowed the Rams to win. Get over it. Tom Brady got the ball first in overtime, and guess what Tom Brady did? He drove his team down the field, put no question in anyone's mind. They didn't kick a field goal. They got a touchdown. So before I get to the Chiefs and the Patriots totally, I'm sick of the Saints whining. I'm sick of Saints players saying 20 years from now, when I bump into Drew Brees in San Diego on the beach, we won't be able to talk about how we didn't get to the Super Bowl because of a bad call, instead of saying we're not going to talk about the Super Bowl because our coach decided to call two passing plays instead of milking the clock with three running plays. We're not going to say, oh, dang, Drew, you threw that interception. Miss me with that. Am I wrong for this?
Nah, man. Yeah, you're wrong, man. We should put Tim Bradley and Manny Pacquiao back in the ring because the judges got that decision wrong. We should put the Steelers and the Cardinals back on the field because Santonio Holmes was out of bounds. We should just look back at our sports history and just have do-overs, man, flat out. As a matter of fact, if a guy drops a pass, he should have a do-over too because, yo, he usually catches that. Throw it to him again. And
exactly.
Participation ribbon, Hall of Fame for everybody.
Let's do it.
Listen, man, I feel like this, Paul. I think sports ain't just sports, right? Because if it was, I wouldn't be on this show talking to you right now. It's something more to it than that in our culture, our society, in our minds, in our hearts. In one way, sports is how we teach values to our future generations. And so do we want to teach our kids that if something goes wrong, you can just sue? Or if you don't get a high enough test score, you can blame the way they wrote the question? Look, man, there's real problems out there, and then there's stuff that happens. And we've got to learn how to deal with stuff that happens. This is a fun conversation. It's interesting. If you want to talk about whether the rules should change, whether you want to give the coaches challenge flags, they can call flags on pass interferences and get that reviewed. Okay, I get it. But I think that's an overcorrection. I think sports is fine. I think football's fine. I think the good people of New Orleans have enough going on down there that they should be able to get over this. And if they can't, they should work really, really hard to encourage their football team to work really, really hard and try to win it again next year. And I know nothing's guaranteed. I get it. But I'm just telling you, man, that this stuff happens. It has happened since the beginning of sports. It will happen. We don't even know what a catch is anymore, man. We don't. Is it targeting? Is it not targeting? The rule, the answer is not more rules. The answer is to be better at football so that the referees don't have so much say on the outcome.
Greg, they had the ball back. They could have won the game in overtime. What?
Yeah, man.
There's so many other things.
We should totally redo that one playoff series where Rob Ori hip-checks Steve Kerr into the boards because Steve Kerr usually gets around that, you know what I'm saying? And Amare normally wouldn't walk on the court. So, like, we should give him a chance to sit back down, do the whole thing over again, and let him just stay where he was.
I'm with you, and I'm even going to go back further. We should let Dan Pastorini back when the Houston Oilers played the Pittsburgh Steelers. We should look at those 2 feet coming down the end zone when he threw his wide receiver because Earl Campbell would have got a Super Bowl ring. We can't.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Now,
we can do this.
Like,
yes, man.
Exactly. And like I said, I would understand the complaint more if the Saints were losing that game and they didn't get that call and it was a fourth down and that was a pass and they didn't get it. Then I would say, you know what? You guys complain away. You're right. You guys screwed. But you had a chance and you blew the chance. Shut the hell up. Now, with that being said, I'm going to talk about something everybody says about the Patriots, and I want your opinion on this one. Everyone thinks it's sick of the Patriots, except Patriot fans. Oh, we're tired of them. Every year we look up, there's Tom Brady again. There's Belichick again. Here they come again. I want to see this. I want to see that. I'm tired of it. They should come up with something. I don't know, but I'm sick of seeing them. I want somebody to beat them. Now, deep down, I was rooting for Kansas City. I like watching Patrick Mahomes. I think he's fun. I think he's entertaining. But D Ford lined up offside and killed their shot. He did that. Not everyone. He did that. So my question for you is, everyone is tired of the Patriots, but when was the last time in a crucial situation that you saw a Patriot line up offside? When was the last time you saw a Patriot false start? When was the last time you saw illegal motion? In other words, they win because they're disciplined. And be more disciplined.
Yeah, no, man,
than
that's all of it. There was a play where I want to say it was Tyreek Hill was trying to return a punt. He catches this thing, man. He probably ran about a good 8-10 yards backwards, and then there was a penalty, and the next thing you know, Kansas City's got the ball on the 5 coming out. And I'm thinking, I'm like, that's why teams can't beat New England. They go, oh, my God, it's New England. We have to do so much. We have to be so good. We have to do so much extra. And they try to do too much, and they end up screwing up. Instead, what the Patriots do is they just do what they do. You make a mistake, they don't, they win. It's like watching the Chiefs and the Patriots was sort of like when your ninth grade basketball team plays against the faculty at your high school, and the faculty kicks the ninth grade team's butt, and you can't even understand why, because the gym teacher's out of shape and he can't even run the floor. It's because they're not trying to do too much. They know what they're doing. They know you're not going to block this shot, so I'm going to stand right here and make this shot. I don't care how boring it looks. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how irritated everybody gets. And I know you can't make that shot, so I'm not even going to guard you out there. So you do all your fancy dribbling, do what you want to do, shoot it from out there, and I'm going to stand right here and get the rebound because I know what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything extra, and I'm going to beat you. I've come all the way around on New England. I want them to win forever just so that people learn what excellence looks like. Excellence is consistency in great moments. Consistency to get to great moments, and then consistency in great moments. That's excellence.
You're not getting a complaint from me. On the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show, PLR, the one and the only Greg Moore Award-winning columnist. Greg, so in tying with that, and I'm only going to get a couple more because I know I promise you to take you for only 15 minutes. I'm going to come as close to that as possible. I heard professional athletes say something that really pissed me off the other day. They said when free agency comes around this year in the NBA, we can't wait to see if Kevin Durant leaves because it's not fair. We have to have balance in the NBA, and as long as he's there, it's unfair. That ties me back to New England in this. When the Golden State Warriors won the first time 4 years ago, how everyone loved it. Everyone loved it. Now all of a sudden, we don't like it because Steph shimmies and Draymond has a bad attitude and Clay should go play with LeBron and KD should go to New York, who doesn't deserve anything because they haven't done anything right since Phil Jackson won a title for him in 73. So why do we hate excellence? Why do we hate a guy who would rather be with some guys that win instead of being somewhere where he's unhappy? When as a society did we become that soft that we hate that? I want KD to go back. I wish Boogie could go back. We know they can't afford him. I want them all to come back. If you want Golden State to lose, compete and beat them. You don't see Russell Westbrook saying, well, I'm not going to try hard. You don't see these other guys saying, but all these other guys, we want competitive balance. I don't want competitive balance. I'm sorry.
No, that's an interesting way of thinking of it. I think mostly everybody just wants to feel like they have a shot, right? But, I mean, everybody rooted for Rocky against Drago. So I would assume that we've always kind of wanted to know. You know what? Actually, I talked to Jeremy Schapp about Buster Douglas. And Buster Douglas, I was trying to figure out why underdog stories were so resonant. Jeremy Schapp said, we all just kind of want to know that on our best day, if everything goes right, do we have a shot to be the single best that there is? Could it happen for us if on our best day we just had the goods? He said that was why the movie, the book Cinderella Man, the movie Cinderella Man was so resonant. That's why Rocky's resonant. That's why Buster Douglas was resonant. That's why underdog stories in general are resonant. And I would say the underdog stories have mattered to society ever since the days of, you know, David and Goliath, right? So I would imagine that underdog stories always are going to matter. And so by definition, if you're rooting for the underdog, that means you have to hate the top dog. I mean, Star Wars was an underdog story, right? Like Luke wasn't supposed to be able to blow up the Death Star with that little dinghy he was flying on. And he flew down a little crack and shot the missile and blew the whole Death Star, right? Like it's just, that's just a piece of it. That's just a piece of it. But what people, I think what people reject more than anything else, man, is a sense that something's unfair. I think you've hit on a lot of interesting stuff, right? Like people in general don't like whiners or whininess. I'm with that. I think people in general don't like things that are completely stacked in somebody else's favor. Like if you go to a high school basketball game and one team's got on all the matching shoes and they got on all the fancy shiny uniforms and a coaching suit, you might be inclined for the dudes who look like they just showed up wearing some hand-me-downs. You might be inclined to say, hey, yo, those guys don't have enough support, and so I'm going to support them because I admire them just for being out there. And, I mean, and look, and let's not just rule out the fact that folks maybe are just feeling jealous that it's just not their team able to do it.
Exactly. And you know what? That was going to be my next point to you. So if – and I'll use – the person that said it, Tracy McGrady. So if Tracy McGrady was playing, and he was playing with Steph, and he was playing with KD, and he was playing with Clay, and he was playing with Boogie, and he was playing with Draymond, would he want them to leave so other teams would have a shot at getting a ring? No. Who would?
I don't know. Actually,
Dennis
Rodman. I don't know, man. Well, no, because Mac left Toronto when Vince was still there. I think Mac just kind of wanted to be the man. But then again, that team was supposed to have Grant Hill. So, you know, maybe he does like maybe he is being a little bit hypocritical there. I'd have to really, really stop and think about it. He had Yao Ming and I want to say Steve Francis in Houston. Maybe Steve Francis was gone by then. I don't know.
I think he was gone by then.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
Greg, I hated Rodman when he was a Piston. I really did. But when he put on that number 91 in Chicago, dude, come on, Dennis.
Yeah, he's your guy.
Let's go, bro.
Right. Right.
Let's do it, man. Y'all just don't understand, Dennis. So fans are like that. But the one sport, and I think this is why the Patriots in football are hated more, because nobody has done this for this long consistently. But basketball, the NBA, has never, ever been a balanced sport in the top with power. In the 60s, it was the Celtics beating up on the Lakers continuously. The 70s was a different era, but the Celtics still got in a couple titles. 80s, all Lakers, all Celtics. 90s, all Bulls. The 2000s, pretty much all Lakers with the Spurs getting theirs in too, and now it's the Warriors. This has never been a competitive balance league. There's been other teams that have popped up, like the Pistons they got to, then they stuck in another one. There's never been a time where teams just come up worst to first. It's not that sport. So I'm trying to figure out, why do these people that say that think all of a sudden this game has become that? And this other thing that I want you to just mention real quick is super teams. The Warriors are a super team. It's not there. No, they're a super team because one player made his mind up to go there. All those other players were drafted. When the Boston Celtics traded for Robert Parrish and traded for Dennis Johnson, they formed a super team. When the Lakers traded for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that makes them a super team. These aren't all organic teams. It's just now the players are making up their minds what they want to do. They're not being told what to do. And now for some reason, fans who at their job don't like being told what to do have a problem with it. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. It's tough. I feel like there's a lot of different people who have a lot of different motivations and a lot of different reasons for feeling how they feel. And then I feel like the most aggrieved party or the loudest party often speaks the most aggrieved party or the angriest party often speaks the loudest. And yeah, man, I totally hear where you're coming from, right? Like Golden State, right? Like all of those guys kind of grew up together, and then boom, it kind of took off for them. Trying to think of some examples of super teams that were more like kind of random where you didn't really see it that way. I remember Pippen, Hakeem, and Charles Barkley were in Houston, but I bet you that was more trades than anything else. Yeah, I think you really just want to take this really a lot of the ways back to just being a kid or just being a young person and playing sports yourself. Or just being at the park and watching other people play sports. And this could be video games. This could be games of Monopoly. This could be anything. It could be game of spades with your family. What I think aggravated people most about Kevin Durant's decision was that he had Golden State. He had them. And they came back and beat him, and then he turned around and joined them. So could you imagine that you're out there on the basketball court at the YMCA, and there's this one team out there kicking everybody's tail, and you're giving it to these guys. And you're giving it to them, and they beat you. They come back and beat you in an improbable way, and then you quit the team you were on and then go run with them. That would strike people as front-running. In general, that bandwagon stuff, it doesn't fly with sports fans because sports fans typically identify with suffering of a team over generations. I think that stuff's going away, though, man, because I think young people younger than us, you know, they don't identify as much with a team as they do with a player. I mean, they've got the opportunity to watch any and every game they want, right? They've got the opportunity to play the video game, and any and every player that they want is on that game. And so you don't necessarily have to watch the team in your town. You could conceivably grow up in Phoenix and flat out be a James Harden fan, a Houston Rockets fan. He's a bad example because of Arizona State. But you could grow up in Phoenix and totally be a Giannis Antetokounmpo fan. That can happen now. Whereas, you know, when we start talking about our nostalgia, because me and you were roughly the same age, when we start talking about our nostalgia, going back to the 60s and 70s, like the 70s for us, and then when we heard our dad and our uncles and our cousins and the teachers, when we heard them talking, they were talking about the 60s and the 70s, right? That era of nostalgia was completely different. And so we're just looking at just a change, right? Like things are just different now, and that's okay. You know, things evolve. Things don't have to be the same way all the time. But that also makes it more special when a guy like Larry Fitzgerald comes back, whole career, one town, elite the whole time, quarterback in, quarterback out, doesn't matter. He's steady. He's consistent. That's why that is so resonant, because it's so rare.
I hear you. I just laugh, man, because I tell you something right now. I used to work corporate America, and I worked for an organization, for a bank that was pretty good. And then another bank actually became the number one bank, and they offered me a job. You know what? I switched. I didn't say, you know what, I'm hanging with them because I put in years, and now that they're not number one anymore, I feel wrong to leave. I went where I was happy. Kevin Durant, go where you are happy. And that's like me saying, you know what, there's other talk shows. Why should I get Greg Moore? Why should I get Richard Simes? Why should I interview Derrick Rose? Why should I interview the good guys? The people that are very, very talented in what they do, let me go and get Steve, who started his podcast, as one listener, because I want to be fair. Nah, heck with that. I don't want fairness. I want greatness. And I want to be surrounded by people that are great. And I want to be surrounded by people that want greatness. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want my kids to be surrounded by greatness. I don't want my kids to go to a bad school. I want them to go to a good school. I want them to grow up in a good neighborhood, because I want them to be surrounded by success. So I just laugh when I hear people gripe and complain about that. I got to ask you this question. So earlier today, early this morning, I couldn't sleep, flipped on TV. This old movie was on called Deep Cover with my man Larry Fishburne. Because with Lawrence in, he's Larry Fishburne in, and Jeff Goldblum. I don't know if you remember that movie or if you saw it. So I'm going to ask you, do you remember Deep Cover?
I remember Snoop and Dre, but I don't really remember the lyrics. I just remember it being a thing.
And that's why I was asking you, because I cannot get that Snoop and Dre song out of my mind, and I am too old, and you can't walk around singing a 187 on an undercover cop. You can't do that as a grown man, because you can't do that, but it's stuck in my head.
No. Stop, right there. We shouldn't have been doing it back then. Here's the fallacy in that. The problem was that there was this ethic about authenticity in hip-hop music, and clearly the gangster rap was mythology. There was nothing authentic about gangster rap, because if you were doing the things those guys said they were doing, you would have been under every jail ever constructed. It would not happen that way. Much less for you to have done it and then to have gone out and bragged about it. No, it was, Paul, it was flat out inauthentic, right? Like, everybody ate up that whole keeping it real stuff. It wasn't real, bro. It was not real. So what they did was they made music that was like a movie from the perspective of a bad guy. So if you were to watch, like, The Godfather, okay, but, like, that was a lot of criminal activity in the mafia the way I understood it. And so I would imagine, or Goodfellas, I would imagine you're watching movies from the perspective not of the law enforcement, not of the police, not of the good guys. You're watching movies from the perspective of the bad guys. For whatever reason, we're able to separate that, probably because the actors didn't run around going, yeah, I really lived this, son. Like, this is who I am, son. And people actually believed rappers when they said that. It's mind-boggling. You can't shoot a police officer or you will not make it out. You're going to jail. You're going to die. You're going, like, that doesn't happen, right? And we shouldn't glorify, idolize, mythologize, or do anything to exalt or uphold anybody who advocates any such thing. That's aberrant. It's wrong. It's wrong on each and every level. But it was never true.
No, it wasn't. I just don't want that song stuck in my head anymore. I have this rule about rappers first.
No, man,
go
play you some Earth, Wind & Fire, man. Clean that out, man. It's all good. It's like when
clean
you eat some sweets and you got to have a little coffee afterwards, man. It's okay.
I have coffee. Man, I put the sweets in a brown bag and throw them in the trash so the wife couldn't see what I had. I'm concealing facts. If I have afternoon when I speak home, man, and have something, I put it in the bag and throw it in the garbage outside. Now, I'm not trying to get yelled at. You know, a lot of people say, "Oh, that's soft." Man, I'm not soft. I'm not going toe to toe with the wife on something I wasn't supposed to have. I'm not crazy. I'm not that
man. Yeah, man, she loves you and she wants the best for you. And so you don't want to advertise your inadequacies, right? And that's the same thing that kind of music was doing at the time. It was advertising its inadequacies. And listen, man, I was a young guy during that era. You know what I'm saying? I listened to that stuff, man. I know what it was, what it had in it. I accepted it as normal. And it took for me a minute to kind of to mature and say, hey, yo, they have taught me that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of money is the root of all evil. And now it seems to me that this music is being made primarily with love of money at its root. And so I don't know what good is going to come of an overconsumption of this type of music. Now, again, man, it's like time and place, right? Like, there is a time for junk food. There is a time for, you know, doing some things that you might not do at noon, you might do it at midnight. And I'm no moralist, right? Like, I'm not here trying to tell you how to live your life. But at the same time, man, we got to do a really good job as parents, as brothers, as people who, like, care about each other in the world that we live in, of making sure that the world out there reflects our values and the things that matter most to us. We got to do that in a way that's, like, not preachy and coming down on young dudes who might not really see it as wrong at the time. We just have to help them grow and mature and turn into something better than themselves. It's tricky, but, you know, it's kind of our responsibility, right?
It definitely is our responsibility, especially when we're raising young men that are going to grow up one day and understand. They have to understand coming from us, because if we're not teaching them, the world will teach them. And so you are 100% correct in saying that. Yo, man, I appreciate you coming on with me. And as usual, it's been too long, but it was my fault. So I own that. But I hear you all over, man. I see you at spots. I know you were at the Suns game last night, watching that. And I'm glad you're able to get the nightmare out and get to sleep and have another good day today. But I got to get you on again, bruh. Sooner,
you know,
rather
anytime,
than later.
Man. You already know that. Anytime, brother. You take care, man.
You too, bro. I appreciate it now. All right, now. Later on. The one, the only Greg Moore, award-winning columnist. I said 15 minutes. He gave me 30. I appreciate that very much. I do want to get into a little bit of this World Series. I do have a call, World Series. I meant to say Hall of Fame. Do have a caller who's been incredibly patient on hold. Thank you for holding. You're on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. This is PLR and the Cave Show. Thank you for holding. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, Paul. It's Lou.
What's up, buddy?
To clear up. The NHL All-Star Game is Saturday night, not Sunday. I just wanted to make a correction on that.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I cleared up that problem. I think the Hall of Fame list was a no-brainer here. And the first time in history as Rivera got unanimously 100% of the vote. Well, I don't know if anybody
would
be surprised by that.
You know what? I am. And I'll tell you why. And I think he should have gotten 100%. Just like I think Griffey should have got 100%.
No,
and I think Tony Gwynn should have got 100%. I know what I'm saying is I'm thinking all these guys should. But there's always that one writer who says, well, Babe Ruth didn't get 100%, so why should this guy? So I'm glad that he got 100% of the vote. And I think this is a good class. I really do. I'm still upset, Lou, and I'm not going to hide it. I'm still upset that Bonds and Clemens are not in the Hall of Fame because I know, and from talking to people, and I trust the people that I've spoken to, there are people in the Hall of Fame that use steroids. And one day it will all come out and it will all blow up and everyone will be like, oh, my God, that person. There's no way Bonds and Clemens should not be in the Hall of Fame. There's no way.
Well,
and
some are
going to
agree with that, some are not. You're never going to get a clear answer on that.
Like I said, these guys, Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
He's a Hall of Famer. What's his name? Pete Rose is a Hall of Famer. I know
yes.
He was a dirtbag for what he did as a manager, but on the field, Pete Rose is a Hall of Famer. There are guys we know that took steroids. We know that for a fact. But they still didn't hit like Bonds. Canseco's brother, Ozzy, took steroids. He couldn't even play in a Little League game. He couldn't hit a ball. Barry Bonds is a clear Hall of Famer. Roger Clemens, what he did to his 40s, is a clear Hall of Famer. What makes me more upset with them not being in, and first off, congratulations to the class that got in. What makes me so upset with them not being in, Lou, it's not that they're not in because of what they did. It's because we have a bunch of self-righteous writers who knew what was going on, and now they're sitting on their high horse. Or let me ask you this question. If you benefited from players that were on steroids, should you get the rewards for them cheating, if that's what we want to call it?
No.
Should you be rewarded for that? No. Why is Tony La Russa then in the Hall of Fame? So what you're telling me is his association with Mark McGwire, and he should be in the Hall of Fame, with Mark McGwire in Oakland, where they won World Series with him and Canseco, and St. Louis, where he won World Series with Mark McGwire. So in all those years of being associated with Mark McGwire, Tony La Russa not once knew that Mark was on steroids. Not once. He never had an inkling. In all those years, he never knew. But he's a Hall of Fame manager based on his wins and based on his World Series that he won with the guy who can't get in the Hall of Fame because he was on steroids. Am I missing something?
No, I don't think so.
So. Oh, well, I'm off my high horse. Like you said, what now?
But like I said, some are going to agree with that and some are not.
Yeah, well, the voters don't agree with me. I just think they're hypocrites. I really do.
That's true.
I think they're hypocrites. So, that's what's going on, man. What else you got for me?
All right, well, let's see here. Oh, and something with your neck of the woods about the former Arizona basketball coach, Book Richardson.
Said it one more time?
He pleaded guilty on a felony charge in the corruption case.
Oh, down at U of A. Well, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I'm an Arizona State Sun Devil.
Right.
That is them down there at U of A. But you know what? Again, well, I'm going to say this. I understand there's corruption, and I understand all that. But who's more corrupt than the NCAA? I mean, I know there are rules, and you got to follow rules. And I understand that. And I'm not doubting that there are rules, and you got to follow rules. But I find it so funny that players get paid, and we want to talk about corruption. But the NCAA tempts these kids out, and we just roll along with it like it's no big deal. So if you're breaking rules and you know what the rules are, you should be punished. If he's getting punished for it, he should get punished for it.
Mm-hmm.
I just find it funny that the kids are the ones that are doing all the – think of any other thing in life where the person does all the labor, but everyone else makes all the money. And I know I always get the, yeah, but they're getting a free education. I think people forget what goes along with that free education. It's not a four-year scholarship. It's for one-year scholarships. So at any time, the school can tell you we're pulling your scholarship. That's one that people don't know. Two, what would happen if a kid, Lou, rolled out and said, you know what, I understand, a football kid says, you know what, I understand we play football in the fall, but I need money, so I can't do spring ball.
Mm-hmm.
I got to work and earn money. What do you think his coach would say to him?
Hmm. Yeah, what will they say to him? That's the problem.
Yeah, you want to play on this team, you're going to be here for spring ball. What if a kid said, you know what, coach, I know you get like $2 million from Nike, and I know we're a Nike quote-unquote school, but I really don't like Nike. I want to wear Under Armour. And so in the game tomorrow, Under Armour fits me better. Can I wear Under Armour? What do you think that coach is going to say to him?
You play for
right?
us, you wear Nike.
You wear a Nike. But, coach, I'm not a $1 million contract with Nike.
Doesn't matter.
You and the school do. Doesn't matter. So, but guess who we blame all the time? The kids. What else you got for me?
I mean, you shouldn't blame the kid. I mean, that's wrong.
But hey.
And we had another version of basketball last night with between the Suns and the Wolves. Booker and Deng's, I think it's his brother, they were both involved in a brouhaha in the third quarter.
Yeah, they were. And I think I've heard of other people say it today, too. I think Booker's just getting frustrated. And I don't blame him.
With what?
It's with losing.
Yeah.
It manifests in a lot of different ways. I mean, you get irritated with guys on the court. Maybe you're more irritable that you can't win. This is a team that I think Devin Booker really thought at the beginning of the season. If he didn't think they would make the playoffs, I think he thought they would challenge for the playoffs. And for them to fall off the way they have, and he's been with the team for 4 years, and for 4 years they've been competing for a top draft pick, I just think he's getting frustrated.
Yeah. Now, as the other guy, is that Deng's brother?
No. No. In fact, they spell their names differently. No, Georgie Deng and Lou Olive.
Sounds similar, but
nope.
Then again, it isn't.
Yep, nope.
That threw me off. Because one of my colleagues shares the same last name as one of the NBA's players. His name was JaVale McGee, and one of my colleagues' last name is McGee. They're not related. You could have fooled me.
Gotcha.
You get the idea. Just like the other one. There are two NBA players named Rose. There's Jalen Rose and there's Derrick Rose. And one of them is the husband of the ESPN reporter
Molly
First Take.
Yep,
yeah,
Molly Carey.
Molly. How do you say it?
Yep.
Quirm?
Karam.
Karam.
Karam. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I can't say it, but yeah, not she doesn't do a bad job either.
No, she does a very good job moderating.
Then you got, but then
Stephen
you got
a.
the loud, you got Loudmouth, and you know, he kind of like.
Stephen A. and Max Kellerman.
I mean,
so
the
she
whole
does
thing
a good
is
job
really.
Moderating.
I kind of feel sorry for Molly because she's in all that while those two are just like barking at each other the whole show.
And you know what? I don't know if you remember, Lou, and I mean, that is like one of their most successful shows on air. But I don't know if you remember when it used to be called Cold Pizza, and it used to be on ESPN2.
Yes.
And I believe it had Skip Bayless, and it had, I can't think of his name. He writes for the Denver Post. He's still on one of the ESPN other shows. And then it ended up having Dana Jacobson, and I forget the other gentleman's name. And then it became became First Take.
First Take.
And then, then Stephen A. would kind of just pop on and on and off. And then he left ESPN for a while to Fox, and then he came back. And then him and Skip, became their show, and they went at it. And Skip got offered, obviously, a lot more money to do the same thing for Fox with Shannon Sharp.
That's
and
another,
it's just, I find
another
it just,
jerk.
Yeah, I find it funny, but yeah, that's the way a lot of shows are now. It's two men, give or take. It's kind of like it's a little bit more confrontational than what a PTI was, and PTI is like in its 100th year.
I don't think
they're confrontational at all. You know, well, but they've gone like First Take was the next step because when Tony and Will Baum kind of not go at it, but when they disagree, it's kind of funny, and then you have High Noon, which is kind of like the new PTI, which kind of leads me to believe that Tony and Mike are kind of like coming to the end. The more I watch High Noon,
only one
the more
PTI.
I think of, yeah. So, but all the shows are well. They're doing well. They're getting ratings. The guys are being successful. And,
what about that other
know,
guy
honestly,
that's on the late afternoon from Miami? Whatever his name is.
Dan Levitard. That guy is it? Dan Levitard.
No,
highly questionable.
Highly questionable, yeah.
Dan Levitard show with him and his dad, and I will tell you something.
Yeah, that's the one.
Dan Levitard's radio show is the highest rated radio show on ESPN.
Wow.
So, it's a lot of good stuff out there. But I'm going to give you the last thought, Lou. We're coming up against the clock here. I know we got about 3 minutes left.
Yikes. All right, and well, you know, I think we can leave it at that. I think I got everything I needed to say, and I'm glad everything we're done. Oh, one more thing. Grizzlies are going to be listening to trade offers for Gasol and Conley, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. All right, my friend. I was actually going to get into that a little bit more tomorrow, so we'll talk then. If hopefully you'll give a call in, and we'll talk for sure.
You got it. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. Good friend and program, Lou. Always good to catch up with him. He's very patient. Hung on to get his thoughts through. Always a good thing. Always, always a good thing. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Really appreciate it. Thanks to good friend and program, Lou, for calling in. Thank you to Greg Moore for being a guest. Have a guest tomorrow as well. I have two guests, actually, but I want to get them confirmed before I throw their names out there. So, to find out, you got to go to The Sports Cave on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook fan page. Cave is always with the K. And you can always go to thesportscave.com as well for a lot of articles and a lot of good stuff that's happening. And you can get me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Until tomorrow, thank you everyone for joining. Really appreciate you today, as always. Until next time, this is The Cave Show. This is PLR. You guys have a great day. Take care.